It's a schus and an honor to be here today, as I say every week. One of the highlights of my week is to be with you and to talk Divrei Torah. And as we all know, Parshas Vayechi, we're coming to an end of Sefer Bereishis, Chazak, Chazak, V'nit Chazek. And we're going to do like we always do. We're going to ask a couple of questions, and then we're going to come out with that major yisod, that major foundation point that we can bring into our lives in a very real way. The Torah tells us in Parak Mem Zayin, Pasuk Chav Ches, where after that amazing cliffhanger, Yosef reveals himself, and then Yaakov Avinu is coming down. And the Torah says, Vayechi Yaakov Erev Mitzrayim Sheva Esrei Shana. And Yaakov comes down, and he's going to be in Mitzrayim for 17 years. Vayehi Yimei Yaakov Shnei Chayov Sheva Shanim V'arba'im U'meyat Shana. And we know that Yaakov lived 147 years. Rashi tells us, again, always in the first Rashis. Rashi tells us, Vayechi Yaakov, how come this parsha is a stuma? It's closed off. It's one closed section. Says Rashi, two answers. Lefisha Kivan Sheniftar Yaakov Avinu. Once Yaakov Avinu was nifter, he passed away. Nistamu Einam Libom Shel Yisrael. The heart and the eyes of Klal Yisrael were closed. Misaras Hashibud. They're going to go to the suffering of the Mitzrayim, which we all know. We're going to be introduced to Shemos and Moshe Rabbeinu and the whole story. And then Rashi says another pshat, Torah Acher, another idea, Shebikesh Ligalos et Aketz. Yaakov wanted to reveal the end. V'nista mimenu. But it was closed off. In the Gemara, it's a Gemara found in Sochem Daf Nun Vav. Very fascinating. Yaakov wanted to reveal to the Shvatim the end. When is the Shechina going to come? And all of a sudden, it departed. Nistalik, it departed from him. And then Yaakov said, hey, maybe this is happening because maybe I have a flaw in one, just like Avraham had a Yishmael and Yitzchak had an Esav. Maybe I had something, there was a flaw in one of my sons. And the Gemara says, no, it's not true. And the son said, come with us, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. And then Yaakov Avinu turned around and said, Baruch Shem Kivon Machuso Li'olam Va'ed. And it's a very fascinating Gemara. First of all, there are a lot of questions on this Gemara. The Medrash actually says on this Gemara that when Yaakov wanted to reveal himself, Hashem turns to him and says, I don't get it. You're concerned about your sons, but you're not concerned about me? And then Yaakov says, how can I serve Hashem faithfully and give it over to my children? And then the children say, Shema Yisrael, what is the give and take? What is Shema Yisrael? What is Baruch Shem Kavod Malchuso? What is this give and take between Yaakov and his sons? Question one. Question two. Everyone that's going to speak in Parshas Vayechi, they're going to talk about Menashe and Ephraim. And we know that Yaakov, or Soloveitchik, said that this is the first time in the Torah. Again, we have a lot of Midrashim. But this is the first time in the Torah that we have Yaakov and his grandchildren together. Amazing. Again, there's Midrashim of different the Avos together, but this is straight in Torah Shebichsav. We have Yaakov and his grandchildren. And Yaakov is going to give the brachas, and we have Menashe and Ephraim, and we know Menashe is older than Ephraim, and the whole hand-switching thing. And we know that a lot of people have a minhag. Not everyone. Some people, you know, they only do it before Yom Kippur. They bench their children. But we know that a lot of people have a minhag. I have the minhag. Got it from my father. That you give to the boys, right, that they should be like Menashe and Ephraim, and to the girls, you give Kesar, Rivka, Rachel, and Leah. And the obvious question is, why? Why the difference? Why don't you say that you should be like Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov? It's no shabby lineup over there. You know, like you should be like the forefathers. Bereishis, our Avos, Maisa Avos Simin Labanim, our DNA. So why are we focusing on Menashe and Ephraim when we give our children brachas? And by the girls, we give them the imahos. Question two. Question three. We know at the end of the parsha, before Yaakov is nifter, right? Before he's nifter, he's giving over all the brachas and all the different things to his children. He's giving them a little rebuke. And when he goes to Levi, Shimon and Levi, he says, very interesting, it's found in Perek Memches Pasachov Beis. It says, "Vani natati l'cha Shchem, achar al achecha asher lakach dimyari amori becharvi ubakashti." that you got it with your sword and with your bell. And Rashi says, what does that mean? That when Shimon and Levi went to go kill Shechem, they went to kill them with their cherev and with their sword and their bow and arrow. So it just means that they went to go kill Shechem. But the Unklus says something, Bisalosi uvaosi, Becharvi uvakashti, with my sword and my bow and arrow. And that means salosi, my davening, uvaosi, my seeking out. What does cherev, a sword, and, right, cherev, becharvi uvakashti, with my bow and arrow, my sword, what does that have to do with davening? So again, let's just make sure we have these three questions. Make sure we have it clear. First question is, what was the conversation? Yaakov wanted to reveal himself. It was taken away from him. And then Hashem says, what you want? What are you doing? You're trying to help your children. You don't care about me. And then all of a sudden, the children say, Shema Yisrael. And they says, Baruch Shem Kivod. Question two is, why are we giving our children the bracha of Menashe and Ephraim? And by the girls, we give them the imahos. And question three is, why, when we're talking about the brachos, giving over to Shimon and Levi, it says, Ubacharvi, Ubakashti. So we all know the power of Shema Yisrael. Shema Yisrael is that we're showing that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is one. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the guidance in this world. He is the governor of the world. The Rambam says in Perek Aleph Halacha Beis, of Hilchos Kriyat Shema, that when a person says Shema, we are Makabal Ol Machut Shamayim. We are accepting the yoke of heavens. And it sounds really nice, like, oh, I'm accepting the yoke. I don't even know what a yoke means, but I'm accepting the yoke. You know what that means when we're Makabal Ol Machut Shamayim? We're realizing that the Ribbono Shel, God is with us. God takes care of us. But again, we're in the Gullus, as we've spoken so much about Yaakov. The darkness, we're in the gullus. And that's why, what do? We cover our eyes or close our eyes when we say Shema. Because there's darkness. We don't fully get what's going on. We're in the gullus. You know, it's very fascinating. The Gemara tells us in Chagiga Daf Yud Gimel. The Gemara is talking about the seraphim, these celestial angels. And the Gemara says, we look at the Pasuk Yishaya, and it says that these angels have six wings. But then if you look in Yecheskel, it says that these special angels only have four wings. So what happened? Comes along the great Arizal and he says, each wing represents the idea coming from the Pasuk, Baruch, Shem, Kavod, Machuso, Liolam, Va'ed. Says the Arizal that after the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, right? We had the first Beis HaMikdash, it was destroyed, the Gemara tells us in Tainus, which we all know, Shvichus Damin, murder, Gili Arayis, immorality, and Avodah Zarah. And then there was only a short time period we didn't have the Beis HaMikdash, and then we got it. And then we got the second one. And we all know, the Gemara tells us, that the second one was destroyed because of Sinas Chinam. We're still suffering because of the Sinas Chinam. We have to realize that we have to just drop all those, listen, we're all one. Right? It's easier said than done, as we all know. But we're still suffering from the Sinas Chinam within Klal Yisrael. So we have to drop that. But the Arizal says, do you know what changed? Why there are six wings in Yishai and Yecheskel, there are four? So he says, Baruch Shem, Kivod Malchuso. Those two words were taken away. Because when we lost the Beis HaMikdash, when we lost the Makom HaShechina, Kivod Malchuso, the glory, the Malchus, the kingdom was taken away. Because we're in the Gullus now. And in Baruch Hashem, we have so much. And Hashem gives us so much. And He should continue to give everyone health and parnasa and everything. And He gives us everything. But we're still lacking kivod malchuso, as we say in Ashrei and Tehillim. Kuf mem hei, pasuk aleph, kivod malchuso yomru, gvuras vayidaberu. Right? We say in Ashrei that we need the malchus. So Kriyat Shema is this idea. Kriyat Shema represents the idea that we realize that the Ribbono Shel Olam is in our lives. Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. It's very fascinating. Tosfos brings down in Brachos Daf Yud Beis that Shema Yisrael, every word of Shema Yisrael, represents the Aseres Hadibros. How is that? Because Shema Yisrael represents Anochi Hashem Elokecha. We have the mitzvah of Emunah, the mitzvah to believe in the Ribbono Shel Olam. And we have to realize that we have this special power of Ein Od Milvado, that no one else can help us. No one else can help us except for Hashem. Ein Od Milvado. The great Nefesh HaChaim, we spoke about the whole lineage last week. I got an email about the lineage, like the Jewish history. Right, from the Beis HaLevi to the Salvechik Dynasty. The Salvechik Dynasty is still going on and passing over the Torah from generation to generation. And the great Rav Chaim Volozhin, Nefesh HaChaim, right, he has a whole Shar Dalid about the greatness of Torah. And he talks about how every second that a person is learning Torah, how he's saving worlds. We don't know. You know, in Volozhin, right, we spoke about the great Yeshiva of Volozhin, Rav Chaim, and the great Yeshiva of Volozhin, they would have 24-hour shifts of learning. Because if there's any second without Torah, the Rav Chaim Volozhin writes, you know why there's different time zones? Right? Some people, they live their whole lives in different time zones, yeah? But there are different time zones because if there's 1 second without Torah, with 1 second without Torah, the whole world, the Gemara says in Shabbos, would turn to tohu vavohu, would turn to nothingness. The power, says Rav Chaim Volozhin, of every second when we're hearing Torah, when we're listening to a shir, when we're doing daf yomi, when we're doing anything, wow, we're keeping the world up. But Rav Chaim Volozhin talks about this idea, Ein Od Milvado, that if a person focuses and thinks, Ein Od Milvado, there's nothing else except for him. There's nothing else except for the Ribbono Shel Olam. Ein Od Milvado. They tell a story, the Brisker Rav, the son of Rav Chaim, Rav Velvel Salvechik. He was going and he was being drafted, and they were very nervous. He was too frail, he couldn't do it. It wasn't for him to be drafted to the army. And his father, Rav Chaim, they went with him, and he said, whatever you do, just keep on saying to yourself, Ein Od Milvado, Ein Od Milvado. I'm nothing without you. You're the one that's in charge. And Baruch Hashem, he was not taken. So it's very fascinating. The Tanchuma says, again, Kriyat Shema is this idea of Kabbalah's Ol Malchut Shamayim. The Tanchuma says, which we might all know, in Shema there are 245 words. That's why when you're there, when you're not with a minion or you're saying, you say Kel Melech Ne'eman, so you get 248. If you're with the minion, you say Hashem Elokecha Memes. The Chazan says the last three. Why? Says the Medrash, because 248. What's 248? 248 is 248 limbs in the body. Why is that? Rav Tzadok, Tzadok HaKohen, and David Tzedek. Ah, he says, amazing, you know what it means? Because when someone has actions, and he has a Kriyat Shema, and he brings emes into his life, then his limbs become Torah Dika limbs. The 248 limbs are physical, but they turn into spiritual, that Shema. It's very fascinating. So Yaakov, he's about to reveal himself to the brothers, to his children, to the Shvatim, Yosef's brothers. He's about to reveal himself, and then all of a sudden, the Shechina is nistalik. So Yaakov wanted to tell Klal Yisrael the end of the days, because he wanted to be mekaleitz the show. Yaakov's whole life, we've been talking a lot, all the struggles and all the pain, and everyone has different struggles, and everyone has different pains. And sometimes we even have our struggles, you know, nisyonos, even Baruch Hashem with all our wealth. We sometimes have to channel and realize, wow, Hashem, look how much He gives to us. Right? And wow, Hashem, amazing. But it's a nisayon because you have to realize that it's from Hashem. And a person has other nisyonos because everyone has different things in life. Nothing's perfect for anyone. So Yaakov said, listen, I went through so much. And Baruch Hashem, at the end of the day, had 17 years of Mitzrayim. The Midrashim say that just like he gave over to Yosef in the beginning, in the 17 years where he gave him over all that Torah, and that's how Yosef was able to fight against Eshes Potiphar, those 17 years that he gave over to Yosef, Yosef was able to give over to Yaakov at the end of 17 years of his life. Midah Tigayah Midah, because everything that a person does, that he does, is always going to be Midah Kenegah Midah. And you might not see it in this world, you'll see it in the next world, and you'll pass it on from generation to generation. But there's a very interesting Medrash. The Medrash says that Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi lived in Sipori for 17 years. And those are the 17 years of Yaakov living in Mitzrayim. So Yaakov had this perseverance. I was talking to my mother this week. She said she went to a shir. And she said that one of the biggest problems is that people are just complacent. People just, you know, they're just going. They don't strive for greatness. And Yaakov, with all of his struggles, never gave up. He just kept on going for it. He said, listen, I had this struggle. I had a Yosef. I had a loved one. I had all this, and I'm never giving up. And I saw at the end of the day, Kol Rachmona Letavav, where it tells us in Brachos, Daf Samach, that everything happens for a reason. And we might not see it. We might not see it in this world, but we'll see it in the next world. But as long as a person has that perseverance, that he's not going to give up, then he'll be able to overcome everything. You know, I was once, a couple of years ago, I was taking my kids to the supermarket. And right, the number one rule, that when you take your kids to the supermarket, don't lose them. Because if you lose them and you come home to your wife, then she'll kill you. What do you mean you lost the kids? So you don't want to lose the kids. That's just a bad thing. So I remember taking the kids to the supermarket. Right, women, they're able to do everything. They juggle, cook, and do laundry all on one foot. But men, you know, they gotta, okay, everyone shouldn't dual task. I had to share to all my bachur, you shouldn't dual task. Try to do one. But again, it's hard. It's harder for different people. Not here to classify men over women, but I'm saying it's hard to dual task. So you gotta watch the kids, you gotta go shopping. But not only that, the kids, little kids, have radar guns for candy. And the minute that they see the candy, so you have to go into the supermarket with two ideas. Either one idea is, listen, they're gonna see the candy. Let's say you have five kids in Eretz Yisrael, each candy, even, you know, it's 10 shekel. So you're going, you're spending 50 shekel. Sorry, that's just what's happening here. Right, you got to get milk. It's going to have 5 shekel. It's going to cost you 55 shekel. But maybe you could go around that aisle. But you better realize that if you go through that aisle and that kid sees it, you got two options right there. Either you could give in to that child right away because he's a kid. He deserves his treat, right? Or you could fight with him. But the minute you fight with him, if you give in to his fight, as we all know, his parents, and then he screams and kicks, not that you know, but your friend told you that your kid has a fit in the middle of the supermarket, once you give in to him, he'll know he could always do that. So, going down the aisle, Baruch Hashem, I had all my kids, going down, no one's lost, right? I'm strapping all of them to the supermarket, to the cart, and then they see the candy. So I tried to veer, but it didn't work. They saw it. They got radar guns. So I knew they have such a rut zone that they're not going to give up. And I went right away, just gave them the candy. I couldn't deal with the fit. I couldn't do it. But there was a rut zone. Why am I saying this? Because Yaakov had a rut zone. And Yaakov said, listen, I was able to see what was going to be. I want to give it over to my children. I want to give it over. Show them. Megale, I'm going to show you. But Hashem turns to him and says, Yaakov, that's not your job in life. We're never, ever going to understand everything. Obviously, we could put things into perspective, and we could try to look at the good in everything, because you could always look in the good. You could always look at the glass half full or the glass half empty. And there's definitely an element that a person... So a person doesn't always know why certain things are happening. So Yaakov was trying to give it over to his children and tell him, listen, there's going to be the end in sight. And Hashem says, listen, you're right, there will be an end in sight, but it's not your job. That's not your job in life to do that. It's my job. Part of the gullus of what we're in, part of the darkness, is that a person needs to realize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in his life. And he needs to realize, but he needs to go and he needs to push. And that's what Shema Yisrael. The brothers turn in with Yosef and they turn to their father and they say, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. That we believe in Hashem, we believe in the Emunah, we believe that there's darkness in this world, and we don't fully understand Hashem's plan, but guess what? Hashem has a plan. Hashem has a plan. And then we turn around and we say, Baruch Shem Kivon Malchuso Liolam Va'ed. It's very fascinating. The Gemara says that Moshe Rabbeinu didn't say that, and Yaakov did. So as like a pshara, a middle view, we say it quietly. That's why we say it quietly. Then the Gemara says, you know why? Moshe Rabbeinu went up to Shemayim and he heard the angel saying, Baruch Shein Kolim Achus Oli Olam Va'ed. And he came down and he's like, uh-oh, the angels are going to get jealous. Again, we have angels, they have feelings, right? They're going to go and get jealous. So therefore, make it, say it quietly. Baruch Shem Kavod Malchus Oli Olam Va'ed. That's why in Yom Kippur, we say Baruch Shem Kavod Malchus Oli Olam Va'ed out loud, because we're like angels. We're like angels. Wow, Baruch Shem Kavod Malchus Oli. And it's interesting, because the Shema, with all the letters, and Baruch Shem Kavod, there are 49 letters. And the names of all the Shvatim, Binyamin, right? Reuven, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda, all of them are 49 letters also. So what's this trying to show? That Yaakov turns to his children and says, I'm going to be Megal, and Hashem says, that's not your plan. You're doing what's good for your children, but this is not your plan. It's like a parent. He takes his child and he's going to get a shot. And the parent knows, obviously, that it's going to be good for the child, but the child is screaming. He's running away. I'm not taking the shot. So the parent knows that it's good, but the child doesn't. Obviously, he trusts his parents a little, but he doesn't know that it's good for him. So Hashem says also, Yaakov, you're doing something that you're not allowed to do. You can't reveal. Even Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't able to see the future. That's not your job. Your job is to be in this galus and to bring Malchus Shamayim into this galus. Bring the Shema, bring the Amuna, bring the love. And I think this answers why we say Menashe and Ephraim. One idea, a lot of different answers. One idea is that when Yaakov is switching the hands, normally, like, Menashe would have been like, what's going on here? Again, we got sibling rivalry. It just doesn't stop. But this is the first time that there's no sibling rivalry. Right? Menashe knew his role. Ephraim knew his role. No one in Ephraim was saying, ha-ha, I got it, you didn't know. No one was saying any of that. It was sibling. They learned. We learned from our mistakes. Menashe and Ephraim. And the Imahos didn't have the same problem, right? Rachel gave over the signs to Leah. Gemara Megillah, you can't even imagine. All she wanted to do was live with Yaakov, to be the number one. And then she gives over the signs to her sister. We can't even imagine that story. But there was love there. There was love between Rachel and Leah. So therefore, when you give your girls a bracha, you say, Rachel, Rivka, Rachel, Leah, because there was that love. And then finally, you go to Menashe Ephraim, because finally, there's love here. Furthermore, Menashe and Ephraim, they're in the galus, right? We went down, and Yaakov Avinu went down, we said last week, Yaakov Yarab, Memaris Halayil, in the middle of the night, the darkness. And Yaakov's going down to the galus because we're still in the galus. And we're still suffering because of Sinas Chino. We're still there. And we're trying to get out of it. And the only way we're going to get out of it is this idea. It's to bring the Malchus Shamayim. You know, Rav Asher Weiss says something amazing. He says that we know that we say all the time in davening, there's Kaddish, different Kaddishes, and it says, Yehei Shmei Rabba, we want Hashem's name being great. We are able to accept all Malchut Shamayim when we say Kaddish. That's our goal. Our goal is to accept all Malchut Shamayim into our lives. Because the more a person brings the Ribbono Shel Olam, brings God into his life, the greater life is going to be. With all those struggles, with the perseverance, like we're little children, we're going to go for it, we're going to get it, nothing's going to stop us. Because sometimes we have dreams, and Bereishis is the story of the dreams. But are we going to be able to fulfill our dreams? You know, we set goals and we have aspirations, and then as we get older and older, they start dying down, they're not reality. But can we awaken within ourselves that we could do it, that we could accomplish what we want, as long as we set our minds to it with God's help? And that's what Yaakov. Becharbi v'kashti. Why that? Because a cherub is a sword, but a keshet is a bow and arrow. The more you pull back, that's salosi. The more you daven, the more you pull back, the farther it's going to go. The more a person goes into his heart, and he says, I'm going to be mekabel ol malchus shamayim. I'm going to realize that Hashem is in my life, and I'm in the darkness. And things are hard sometimes. But I'm going to become a Yaakov. B'nai Yisrael, B'nai Yaakov. I'm the Avos. I'm going to come from the Avos because they had Nisyonos. But they passed their test. And we all have Nisyonos. Every Yid has their own Nisyonos. But we all have the ability to pass. We all have the ability to bring the Kedusha into our lives. We all could be that B'nasha and Ephraim, the greatness. So Bezer Hashem, everyone should have a Chazak, Chazak, V'nit Chazek. Realize, Maisa Avos Simen Labanim. Everything our Avos went through happens to us. But at the end of the day, our Avos persevered, and we come from them, the greatness of Klal Yisrael. And Bezer Hashem, we'll pass it on from generation to generation. Everyone should have an amazing Shabbos. Parshas Vayechi, Chazak, Chazak, V'nit Chazek.